Sacred harp singing has been part of American music for over two centuries, and it continues to be sung throughout the U.S. and right here in Cincinnati. The Ohio Sacred Harp Convention takes place on March 4th and 5th at the First Lutheran Church downtown. John Beal is a member of the Cincinnati chapter, and we're glad to have him in the studio. Welcome.
Thank you, Ann.
Tell us about the origins of sacred harp singing. It goes way back.
The book was published in 1844, and its distinction is it's the only book that's been continuously in print since then. So it's been constantly used throughout history. But the music goes back to colonial New England, where there was a body of composers and music teachers that wanted to teach people to read notes. They were singing in churches from memorized melodies, and they started this movement to teach note reading, and they began to compose these elaborate songs. And it was really kind of a golden age of the first American composers, Daniel Reed and William Billings and all that you hear in conservatories and so on. So these are, we claim these composers as ours because they're all throughout the book and we love their songs. But then the music spread down the Shenandoah Valley and across Pennsylvania and into the Midwest and into the upland South and the Appalachians. And many, many of these books were published, and shape notes became the standard for all of American music printing. And then towards the middle of the 19th century, it all stopped and people began printing in round notes. There was a big kind of political controversy in the churches about this, and this became out of fashion, and so it sort of became, well, it became sort of folk music now because it was considered to be the people who are less intelligent than the others because of this system of notes. And so it was sort of forgotten and kind of clustered around country churches and things like that. And then later, when people would want to bring it into the forefront and revive it, so to speak, and that's when in the 1960s and 70s, people my generation discovered this and really fell in love with it, and it's transformed our lives.
But it's interesting because I had a chance to look at your copy of The Sacred Harp earlier, and it implies that people know music because it's a combination of regular musical notation as well as the shape notes.
Right, right. Yeah.
So what did the shape notes stand for?
They stand for the degrees of the scale. You've heard of do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do.
Yeah.
And we use a four-shape system, fa, sol, la, mi, fa. And those degrees of the scale are represented on the music staff by shape notes, and that's sort of what distinguishes this tradition. And when we sing it, we sing through the names of the notes. It's sort of an odd ritual that we have, but it's very important that we do this, and that we never – well, not never, but rarely do we sing songs without going through the notes beforehand. And it's just become a part of our lives since the tradition started. And it's difficult music. A newcomer who's never sung music before would have trouble with this. And not only that, but the people who you're singing with have been singing all their lives and they know how to read the music and they know most all the tunes. But what you do is you just go and sit down and do what you can and listen and enjoy and just feel this presence, this power all around you. It's really, really, really powerful music because it's loud and there's a lot of emotion involved with it. Their heads aren't buried in their books reading. They're looking at each other, engaged. Their whole emotional being is thrown into these songs, and it's captivating. They say once you hear it, it'll get a hold of you and you won't let go.
Well, why don't we hear an example? What would you like to play for us?
Well, I picked out Calvary, which is on page 300, and it's a fugue, and so you'll hear the cascading voices come in, and it's also a minor piece. Many of these songs are minor, and they have a lot of open chords in them, and so I picked this one out because it kind of has everything there and is one of the favorites. I'm sure it'll be sung one time each day because somebody will call for it.
Well, let's give a listen.
La, 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 la. La 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 la
again, when I looked at the copy of the Sacred Harp, I saw that there were a lot of place names given to these songs, names like Natick and Columbus. Why is that?
Well, first of all, when you sing out of a church hymnal, the names of the songs relate to the text. And in the Sacred Harp, this dates back to when the text and the tune were separated. And so most of the composers composed the music, and they named the music and not the text. In fact, very few of these texts were written for the Sacred Harp. They're taken from the hymnist like Isaac Watts and Charles Wesley and so on. So you get a composer who's naming this tune, and there's no content to it but music, and so he or she will name it after a place that they're fond of, or a church or a person or something like that.
And what's going to be going on at the convention? It spans 2 days, and will it just be nonstop singing?
That's about it. This is the Ohio State Convention, so people will come in from all over the Midwest and some from all over the world. And Cincinnati is currently hosting this once every 3 years. It'll be 2 days from around 10 till 3 each day at First Lutheran Church. And you walk in, there's no program, no admission, no choir director, there's no program, nothing. You just walk in and singing one after the other. We take turns leading so that someone will get up and sing their favorite song, and then they'll sit down and someone else will get up, and we'll go through all of the leaders in a day. And, you know, it's a real personal thing to get up and lead your own song that you like and so on.
And when you talk about you get up and lead, is it conducting or a leading vocal line?
Oh, no, it's conducting. You'll see your hand waving up and down to give the beat, tell people when to come in and so forth if there are parts that do that. And people will lead from their seats, too, so there's this sort of communal experience of leading. But the one that's standing in the middle sets the tempo and sets the pitch and all and decides how they want it to be done.
Now, is this open to the public as well?
Absolutely, yeah. And like I say, there's no charge to get in. You just come and take in as much as you like.
And there is a Cincinnati chapter. So tell us a bit about that, where it meets and how often.
Well, we're just a small group. We meet once a month at the Friends Meeting House in Avondale off of Reading Road. Usually there's, 15 or so of us there that have been meeting since 1987. It's not as exciting as a convention, but we soldier on.
Let's end with another piece from the Sacred Harp. Which one would you like to close with?
This will be William Billings' Africa. It's we kind of call this the gateway drug of Sacred Harp. When you hear this song, you can't resist.
Thank you so much, John Beal. He's a member of the Sacred Harp Singers Chapter here in Cincinnati. The Ohio State Sacred Harp Convention is March 4th and 5th at the First Lutheran Church on Ray Street downtown. You can find out more by going to our website, wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Ann Ehrenstein.